Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Karth Nursery has been your one-stop shop for everything green and growing at the same location for over 50 years in the heart of downtown Karth. The best selection of not only trees, shrubs, and flowers, but stock up on decor and all your supply needs. Visit our new website for full details, karthnursery.com.
And guys, on a season-ending day, basically, for Ole Miss. I know the Egg Bowl is just a few days away, but this is it, for all intents and purposes, for what Ole Miss's goal was in 2024, for what the expectations were in 2024, the season is over with a loss to Florida. They will not be making the playoff. I know that the playoff predictor thing from ESPN had a 4% chance. What, I mean, let's not waste our time with that. They're not making the playoff. They do not deserve to make the playoff after that performance paired with a Kentucky loss and now the LSU loss. Especially if they lose today, looking worse and worse. Ole Miss is not a playoff team. They don't belong in the playoff. They are incredibly talented. Their ceiling is very, very high, and they also have a floor that apparently is quite low. So we're going to talk about it right here. We'll react to it together on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I'm glad that you guys are here on this. I mean, it's beautiful outside, this beautiful Saturday afternoon. If you're a first-time watcher or listener, this is a Ole Miss-based podcast, or, well, we do a lot of things on the Super Talk YouTube channel and on Super Talk's network, but what you're watching right now and what you're listening to right now is our offering called The Rebel Report. And if you're new and you want to hear more Ole Miss content a few days a week, I would encourage you to please subscribe to it. Wherever you get your podcast, just pull out your phone, search Rebel Report, and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And before we get into anything else, this edition and every edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you're a small business owner and you need legal advice, or even if you don't at the moment, the day's probably going to come where you're going to need to, and I know the perfect person for you. His name is DJ Gregory. He's in Fulton now. He used to be in Saltillo, but he's in Fulton, but he can service you anywhere in the great state of Mississippi. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, has got you covered for all of your small business, personal injury as well. If you've been personally injured and you have not contacted a lawyer, you need to find this person. Pull out your phone, 662-397-9799. Do not delay another second if you've been injured. Call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today. Personal injury, small business, contract disputes, the Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. So Ole Miss loses 24-17 to Florida. I think since, because at least for now, it appears that the live chat is working. We'll just really kind of get into your commentary more so than just like reading the box score and stuff like that, because that's what the whole purpose of this is, right? To engage and interact with you guys. But we do need to start with this thing and the season. Look, if they win the Egg Bowl and win a bowl game and get to 10 wins, like that's a nice season. That's totally, you know, that's fine. But the season, as we talked about, going into it all off season, the summer, I mean, through September, where they were playing these non-conference games against, you know, Furman and Middle Tennessee, the common theme, the expectation was this team wins 10 games and makes the playoffs, or the season is a bust. That it's so simple. It was that black and white. There's no gray area. They didn't have injuries pile up that make you look at this season with any kind of nuance, frankly. There's no room for nuance. This season for Ole Miss, it's definitively a failure. They had the roster. They had the talent. They had the defense to be a playoff team. Quite easily, they could have been a playoff team. But they played themselves, and at times they coached themselves right out of the – not at times. They played and coached themselves out of the possibility of making the playoffs. There are absolutely no excuses whatsoever for Ole Miss to have lost to Kentucky and LSU and Florida. Winning just one of those three games would have them going into the Egg Bowl as a favorite, a heavy, heavy favorite, not only in the game but to make the playoff. This was a failure. There will be no other spin. There will be no other expectation. I assume Lane Kiffin's in his press conference right now. But regardless of what is said about history, no, we're not going to do that. I'm certainly not going to do that here with you guys. I am not going to try to do anything of that sort. history doesn't matter. A 9-win season at Ole Miss is typically good, not for this team. Not anywhere close. It is a failure. Lane Kiffin, Charlie Weiss Jr., the offense in particular, failed this season. It is an F grade. There's no other way around it. Today was especially awful. I mean, 3 red zone trips with 0 points. A really bad second half from Jackson Dart. This group of wide receivers was pathetic today. I mean, what, 8 drops? 7, 8 drops? And, I mean, just 3 or 4 of those becoming completions probably wins the game today for Ole Miss. And they just simply could not get it done. And what makes it, I mean, Lane Kiffin's the head coach. He has to wear this. But what's especially interesting, if you will, about what has happened here is that it's the offense that failed them. It's the offense that failed them today, only scoring 17 points. You're not going to win many games only scoring 17 points. The offense failed them against Kentucky. And frankly, the offense failed them in Baton Rouge as well. That is supposed to be, and it is, Lane Kiffin's forte, right? It is the offense that Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin are known for. But that was what failed them. It's everything else that happened today, right? Bad mistake on the final possession and the second to last possession, whether there was miscommunication on the second interception, but the first one was just stupid. Just a very stupid decision on top of a stupid day of football for Ole Miss. But it's not only the lack of execution, it's poor decision-making, it's the situation at running back. And I know people are sick of hearing about the running back situation, but now people, the answers need to be demanded for why Ulysses Bentley cannot play, why he does not play. It's inexcusable. You cannot anymore do the, well, trust the coaches. They clearly know what they're doing. Well, offensively, today they were awful. The running game's been bad. You have a highly effective running back that you are so unwilling to play that you play walk-ons and now converted very small wide receivers at running back instead of Ulysses Bentley. The decision, the running back room, and the way they've handled it this season has been complete and total nonsense. There is no justification whatsoever for how they've handled it. And when you're struggling in the running game and you've got a talent like they have with Ulysses Bentley, and they are actively choosing not to use him and converting wide receivers and playing walk-ons ahead of him, answers need to be given. Because the answer of, well, other guys just beat him out, it's garbage and it's unacceptable. And like, I don't pay the salaries of the players. I'm just a media talking head, right? That's all I really am. But you guys that have given your money to the Grove Collective, that have given your money to pay the salaries of the players, that buy your season tickets, that spend the money that goes to the $10 million salary for Lane Kiffin and the $1.5 million salary for Charlie Weiss Jr. and whatever Kevin Smith is making, I think you guys are owed answers for why the running back room and the situation with Bentley has been handled the way it has. It is completely and totally inexcusable. There's no other explanation. And I know it's hyper-focusing on one thing, where you have a team in a game that failed so spectacularly today in all facets. Dart in the second half was awful. The wide receivers, really through the entire course of the game, were awful. They missed a field goal. You had a muffed punt. I mean, if you just catch that punt, the entire game's probably different, but it doesn't matter because you didn't. But you did all of those things as well. Just played really stupid football throughout the day. But I keep going back to that one thing, because you can explain going for it on fourth down and having a bad play call, right? Like the first decision to go for it on fourth down, why is Jackson Dart your lead blocker? That makes no sense. It's a very stupid thing, right? That's on coaching. That's putting him in that situation where he's the lead blocker is dumb. It's a stupid thing that they did. The decision to go for it on fourth down there, not dumb. It being Jackson Dart is your lead blocker for your defensive tackle, as opposed to him running straight, is stupid. Then you miss a field goal. And then you have another short yardage situation in which, for some reason, you're trying to test the edge with your 320-pound defensive tackle instead of him going straight ahead, which had a clear lane for him to get an easy first down. So there's a lot at play here, right? Bad decisions by quarterback, dropped passes, too many of them, two dropped touchdown passes. Bad line play in the second half. You had an inopportune penalty to start a possession. You had a missed field goal, all that stuff. But what they have chosen to do at running back is inexplicable. And I think that needs more answers than anything else that they failed at today. Because again, maybe Pegues was supposed to go up the middle and maybe he just kind of misread it or whatever. Dropped passes, you can't help as a coach, right? They're in the right position and they just can't catch the football. That's not on coaching. It's just a really bad day at wide receiver. But they actively chose to play a converted wide receiver at running back and walk-ons ahead of Ulysses Bentley. And you saw the last time, the last game they played before this one, when they beat Georgia, right, how effective Bentley was. And yet he cannot get a single snap at running back today. He can return kicks, but he can't play running back today. That is something I know, again, I've heard from some of you guys that think I spend too much time talking about that. But I think that you need answers. Because dropped passes, stuff happens, right? Really bad day for the wide receivers. Actively choosing to keep personnel on the sideline deserves answers. And I think you guys deserve answers for that. So all around bad day for Ole Miss. Otherwise, I mean, defensively, I think they had a pretty good day. I know Florida scored 24 points, but I mean, only 180 yards passing and 3.6 per carry on the ground for Florida. So it certainly wasn't defense yet again today, just like it wasn't for Kentucky and LSU. It's a failure season. Playoff or bust was real, and they absolutely busted. Offensively, they were a failure this season. The running back position makes no sense. And now we'll see if they can, you know, try to keep the team motivated to win a rivalry game. But the result of that is, I mean, largely irrelevant because they failed to meet what was an extremely achievable goal this season, which was to make the playoff, and they came up short. And the blame for that rests squarely on the shoulders, first, of Lane Kiffin. Did such a great job getting them back off the mat after the LSU loss to overcome the rough first half against Oklahoma and dominate in the second half and really light up Arkansas and then turn around and beat Georgia just for it to turn out like this. But three losses to bad teams. All right. Well, bad is a relative term because Kentucky's worse than that of Florida and LSU, but three bad losses is what they are, in which the offense failed. And that is squarely on the shoulders of Lane Kiffin. And he's certainly not going anywhere, at least not via Ole Miss's doing, but they need to make changes. They have to. You can't continue on like this. You can't just run it back and try to convince the people that are paying your salary and the salaries of your players that nothing needs to change about the way they approached offense this season. So we'll get to your comments now after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. If you are a Mississippi business and you need anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phones, systems, whatever it is, if it's technology, if it's in the office, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment on me. Just check them out, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. So check them out. Bank with me at Priority One Bank because they make you their priority. So let's see. Let's see what you guys have to say here. Sorry, I've just was making sure that we were all squared away on the stream, so I didn't read your guys' messages right away, but I think we're good. So let's do it. This team either dominates or chokes. No in between at this point. I just hope they care enough to win the Egg Bowl. I am very curious to see what kind of effort you're going to get in that game. If there's going to be possibly some opt-outs or some players that have been banged up that choose not to play in this game, we'll have to see. It just, you know, other than beating your rival, the game is, I mean, it's kind of meaningless because they have already failed. It's that simple. They have already failed. At least Ole Miss fans don't have to worry about Lane going to Florida. Yeah, but at least he was able to fire off some tweets and Instagram posts trolling you guys, the Ole Miss fans, with alligator pictures. So at least he got to do that this season. You know, I'm sure you guys enjoyed that. You're convinced Bentley slept with a coach's wife or girlfriend and went to federal prison in the offseason. Oh, man. Another one: as an Ole Miss fan for 37 years, after that game, you're hoping State beats them for a complete meltdown. You're not actually hoping that. They choked. No other way to spin it. Defense played well, though. It was a choke job. A complete and total choke job. Simple as that. They choked. There is nobody to blame but themselves. There's certainly no excuse making. They choked away this game. And it's the offense that did it. It was a poor offensive day. It was a poorly coached game. They failed. I'm going to keep using that word because that's what it was. Playoffs are bust. Playoffs are gone. Let's go insane and have a meltdown. I don't think you're actually hoping your team lose the Egg Bowl, but with all the money given by fans for the roster, Kiffin needs to answer a lot of questions. I agree. I mean, it's, and you know, here's the thing though, right? Is I say that fans deserve answers, right? Because I think you do. And fans are going to say that they deserve answers. And you're justified in that because I think you do. But are you going to get them? Are you confident at all that Lane Kiffin is going to address anything publicly and try to inspire confidence from you guys in his program to where you will go back and donate millions of dollars into it? Because that's the next layer to this, right? It's not just that, you know, they lost three football games and didn't make the playoffs. They mismanaged your money, in effect. That is what this new era has created in college football. Now it allows people to level the playing field talent-wise. And again, talent was not the issue. The Grove Collective, funded by you, the fans, did your job, right? You did what you were supposed to do, and you did it well. The Grove Collective was well-funded. It bought a very expensive and talented roster. It's the coaches that took that roster and underachieved with it. So they need to, and again, I have no confidence that they're going to do that, but they need to figure out a way to inspire you guys again. And it would start with a good performance in the Egg Bowl. But that is something that we have yet to really see in this era where, like, 2022 is a bit of a different story because they had the Auburn deal to fundraise off of. Like, the team, you know, faltered at the end of the season in part because of the Auburn thing. But you had the coaching search to fundraise off of. It's when Kiffin clearly tells Chris Lowe to say that if he leaves, it's because Auburn has more NIL money. You guys fundraised off of that, right? And had a well-paid roster in 23 and won 11 games, and it was the most games that they've ever won in program history. So it was easy, again, to fundraise off of that. It's easy to fundraise off of your coach might get poached by somebody within your own conference, and it's easy to fundraise off of the best season in school history. It is not easy to fundraise off of underachievement without boots on the ground and change, right? Some kind of change or confidence inspired. And is Lane Kiffin going to do that? I don't know the answer to that. My guess would be no. But what happened, the next layer is always, what happened is they took your money by the millions, millions and millions of dollars of your money, and they underachieved with it. And so now, are they going to be able to get millions more of your money, which is what is necessary to build a roster that can be competitive for next year's playoff? I really, really don't know the answer to that. And I am very curious to see how the fans respond. But more importantly, I really think that it is just like every win gets placed on the shoulders of the coach first, every loss should be placed on top of their shoulders as well. Now it's Lane Kiffin's job to get out of like the shelter that he kind of exists in at Ole Miss, because he's underachieved for the first time. This is the first time at Ole Miss he's underachieved and failed. This was a failure season, regardless if they win the Egg Bowl or not. It's a failure season. So will he actually change his approach and messaging to try to fundraise again? Or is it going to be more shoulder shrug and tweeting alligator pictures? Well, we'll have to see. I don't know. But what's the fallout for average Joes in committing their money to the collective? Because not to rub the salt in the wound, what has it bought you? 9 wins in a decent bowl game? See? And there are going to be people that will refuse to give again. There will be. And can you blame them? Can you blame them? I can't. It's what needs to be done to win. But I certainly, if especially, and what's so, forgive my language, what's so ass backwards about the current structure, even though I think it hasn't destroyed the sport like some people say, because college football is awesome. I mean, this weekend's, I mean, you had this crazy upset already, right? And you're going to have chaos for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks with conference championships. And the season's been amazing. Like, this has been an awesome college football season. But there's still the issue of we are asking middle-class people and lower middle-class people and lower-class people to give their hard-earned money to pay the players. And by the thousands, Ole Miss fans who probably don't need to part with $100 a month have been parting with $100 a month. Will they continue to do that? Dropped passes, horrible fourth down plays. Why is the defensive lineman bouncing it outside? Abysmal special teams play, a complete failure of coaching. 9 wins is not good enough anymore, and the staff should be criticized. Yes, they should. And that's where it starts. Although, not the defensive staff. It's not on them, man. They had a good enough defense to be undefeated at this point. The failure is on the other side of the ball. That is where the failure lies. It's Lane Kiffin. It's Charlie Weiss Jr. It's Kevin Smith. And whatever the hell is going on in the running back room, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It's Garrison, the offensive line coach. That is where I think the arrows need to be pointed to. Golding and those guys, they did a really good job this year. Defensively, they're phenomenal. It's the other side of the ball where the arrows need to be pointed to as what in the hell happened there? What happened there? I mean, defensively, they gave up 21 points today. That's good enough to win on the road. I know Florida scored 24. Their field goal possession, they had -4 yards. It was after a dropped punt. So all the arrows, all the criticism, everything needs to be pointed directly at Kiffin, Weiss, Garrison, Kevin Smith, etc. That's where the problems are. Kiffin is being paid like a playoff-level coach. The expectation should be that he makes the playoff. Frankly, a failure of this magnitude should warrant changes in the staff. I agree. You cannot just run it back like this. There need to be changes, probably rather significant ones. Maybe next year they'll kick more field goals. But here's the thing. They did kick one field goal and it missed. So when you say, you know, take the points, it's not a guarantee with this kicker. And that, that is an issue in and of itself. But I don't think going for it on fourth down is a problem. It's when you're running off tackle with your 320-pound defensive lineman with the quarterback being his lead blocker. That's where the problem really lies. The Kentucky loss, now this one really makes you want to pull your Grove Collective renewing, but you care about the other sports still. Yeah. Also, why on the Big East plays are they leaving Dart in? Why not bring in an extra big body? Maybe missing a rule or something. There's no rule. It's not a rule thing. I think maybe in part they have just have other options to run stuff out of that maybe, but him being a lead blocker is, and also if he's going to be a lead blocker, he's got to actually try to do it. But putting him in that position is just a stupid thing for them to do. It's just dumb. It's just really dumb. Greg McElroy was ripping them apart, and justifiably so. Great accumulator of talent, attention hype getter, but Kiffin is a C-minus football coach. You can't come off a bye as a 10-plus point favorite against a 5-5 team with a playoff on the line and give the game away. That's exactly what they did today. This jumped forward. I like using a streaming platform so much better than this, but we're getting through it. We are getting through it. Your problem with the going forward on fourth down so much is that it ends up giving momentum back to the opposing team, especially when they only run the same play over and over again. If he just runs it straight both times, they get him, though. You could not agree that maybe Geez missed it when he was bouncing outside, but he did it almost every time. That seems like coaching. Dominic Thomas not used being used as well was dumb. Yeah, I mean, why did they land on a very small wide receiver, a converted wide receiver to play running back for them today? Why did they do that? It's the whole situation is insane. It's very stupid. That's the appropriate word. It's just very stupid. There's no other explanation, no other word, nothing. It's stupid is what it is. It's a total team loss from coaching down to players, two touchdowns dropped, missed field goal, multiple drop passes, suspect play calling in certain situations. Sven, the Mississippi State fan, says Kiffin will be gone in 2 weeks and there's 90% of your pay-for-play guys are out of here. It's over. Where is he going? I mean, probably the beach, but who would hire him right now? Carter cannot cave in a couple weeks when Jimmy Sexton is in his office petitioning for the extra year extension and raise. After each of those losses, Ole Miss fans and radio shows are sitting around and talking about coaching every single time. You're exactly right. Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's a clause in his contract that automatically rolls it over, but I would not give a raise. So the automatic rollover is a thing that will happen. But no, not another. It should not be increased by another dollar, not one. And if Jimmy – look, I know Jimmy controls everything in college football, but no, he does not deserve another dollar. He's a $10 million a year coach. There's already escalators in his contract to begin with. Do not change it at all. It automatically rolls over. That's what happens. It's already written in the contract, so you can't change that. You're not changing the contract. You make no adjustments whatsoever. It has not been earned in any way, shape, or form. And if he wants to leverage, I mean, what job is going to come open? There's not going to be one in the SEC that comes open. So, I mean, what will it be? What job's coming open, right? So, even if they try, okay, that's it. Like, you have your contract. That's what you have. Say, always take the points in the SEC and it swings momentum. But again, the points aren't guaranteed. You saw that today. Going forward on fourth down is not a bad decision. The best team in the NFL does it with regularity. It's not the going forward on fourth down. It's the choosing to go forward on fourth down and using your quarterback as a lead blocker. In Baton Rouge, using Jordan Watkins solo to block a defensive end. That's the issue. It's design. It is not decision. The most money ever spent for a team to pay for an Egg Bowl win? Yeah, they didn't pay for the team to win the Egg Bowl. Running game and O-line were weak spots this year. Well, maybe if they would play their best running back, it would have been less of one. But anyway. Maybe because you're upset, but you really did not like Dart's demeanor at the end of the game, crying on the sideline, have to be consoled. I get you're upset, but grow up. Kind of irked you, but it's a minor thing. I mean, he was crying after the interception that ended up getting overturned. I had to go back on the field like that. I mean, I understand it, though. I mean, he put a lot into it, and ultimately, you know, kind of his fault there at the end, not kind of, but. Do I think with nothing to play for Ole Miss, could possibly lose the Egg Bowl now, or do you think they play like a pissed off team? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I could see it going both ways. I could see a lot of opt-outs and guys not giving a damn. And then I could see them still winning the game because Mississippi State is as bad as they are. We won't know until Friday. Simply will not know until Friday. Florida broke the shoe curse last week. Marco Wilson can rest. No kidding. I still can't believe that happened. Can you believe that happened? And then the Austin Powers memes were really funny. The who throws a shoe? Honestly. Drop passes hurt more than anything in this game? Absolutely. I mean, Watkins dropped a touchdown pass. Juice Wells decided to try to, what would have been a touchdown, he tried to one-hand it instead of getting both hands up and catching the ball. Watkins had a bad day today, really bad day. Handful of drops for him. Didn't help. Golding has set himself up to get ahead, to get head coaching phone calls in the next few weeks. This is kind of loosely sourced. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I know what Pete Golding's thinking, but I have heard that it'll have to be like a power job to get him to leave Ole Miss. I don't think he would leave for a G5 job. I mean, he's already getting paid double. Like, so he's getting paid double what Southern Miss is going to pay their head coach next year. But there's also a line of thinking apparently that whenever Lane goes, he would be on the very short list of candidates to replace him. And there, you know, there's the family ties and stuff. Like, apparently wants that job. And so we'll see. But I'm with you. I mean, like, if I'm Southern Miss, I would explore that possibility. If they're looking at Georgia's tight end coach, then they need to look at Pete Golding too. But I don't think that he would because of that reason. Judkins couldn't even win the starting job at Ohio State. Yeah, I've told everybody this offseason he wouldn't start, but Ole Miss to the Liberty Bowl, it's still been an okay year. They will not go to the Liberty Bowl. I mean, if they win the Egg Bowl, they will go to Citrus, I guess, but I mean, who cares? It doesn't matter. 3/4 of the team will opt out at that point. Just told your kids to expect them to be back to being a mid-SEC team for a long time. Are you wrong? There's no way of knowing. Tell me what they do in the portal this offseason. Need to shore up the running game and offensive line big time. That's the weakness. Have a quarterback who's probably more talented than Dart. Napier worked for Kiffin and knew everything he was going to do. See, that's the thing. I don't think Florida had like some super special game plan to stop Ole Miss. Ole Miss was situationally pathetic today. Dropped passes, especially. I mean, how many open receivers throughout the course of the game were throwing the football and dropped it? Watkins a handful of times. Wells a couple of times. I don't think that Florida out-schemed Ole Miss. I think situationally they were significantly better. That was the difference. It's Florida didn't make the mistakes that Ole Miss did. Florida didn't miss a field goal. Ole Miss did. Florida didn't drop passes in the same way that Ole Miss did. Florida didn't muff a punt in the same way that Ole Miss did. That was more of the issue than Napier knowing what Kiffin was going to do. I think it was situational is where they failed. Ole Miss in the red zone was pathetic again. What kind of changes would I want to see going into 2025 personnel-wise? Well, they kind of, I mean, it's going to be made for them, basically, right? I mean, Harris is going to be gone. Watkins is gone. Wells is gone. I mean, it's Austin Simmons' time. Logan Diggs, I expect, will be RB1 going into next season, so they're kind of figured out there, along with Daquan Wright. I mean, they got to be able to keep, you know, the guys that they want to keep as well, but personnel-wise, it's going to kind of happen on its own. I think coaching-wise, though, the offensive staff needs a massive shakeup. That's what failed this team. It needs a shakeup, and a significant one. How is 2 drop touchdowns and 5 other drop passes Dart's fault? Because in the second half, he was bad. And with the game on the line, he threw a horrible, horrible interception. I mean, throwing... There's absolutely no reason to throw the ball that he threw to Juice Wells into triple coverage. That's just a beyond stupid decision. Just a very, very stupid decision. Yes, his receivers did not help him out today. He played an exceptional first half, and he was bad late. And, you know, it's why every school and program calls every workout in the offseason the fourth quarter drills, right? Because that's what matters the most is what do you do in the fourth quarter when all of the pressure is on you, and he caved to the pressure today. Not only Watkins, but Juice can't make contested catches, not an NFL player, bust for his hype, honestly. Yeah. Pre-scorn was wide open so many times, he got 2 targets. Too many dropped passes, way too many dropped passes. Chain is only as strong as its weakest link. No running game in Lane passing on the points. Who needs Quinshon? Offensive line and running game sucked. Lane outsmarted himself again. Run the dang football. Well, here's the thing. I've already talked about it too much, I guess. I don't want to just continue to beat the dead horse, but running game would help if they played their best running back. It would help. And if he's not their best running back, they need a real adequate explanation for why. Not, hey, this converted wide receiver who's 120 pounds, it looks like. I know he's heavier than that. Is actually a better option than Ulysses Bentley. Hey, this walk-on that has no business playing in SEC football, he's better than Ulysses Bentley. And here's another walk-on. Now, Tom, a little bit different story with him, but another walk-on actually is better than Ulysses Bentley as well. So he went from a guy that NFL scouts were asking to declare for the draft because they wanted to draft him. A 6 yard per carry guy a season ago suddenly is so bad that you have to convert small wide receivers to play running back before you give him a carry. That needs real answers. It makes no sense. I've always been pathetic in the red zone with Kiffin. That has been an Achilles heel. Anyway, you have to give Florida some credit here. They did the same, stopped multiple red zone trips to LSU last week. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about it from the Florida side, I guess, but that's, you know, that's not what this audience wants to hear. I mean, Florida, they're getting better, and they're they really care for and play for Napier, but Ole Miss shot itself in the foot. They did this to themselves. They failed. Yes, Florida did nice things. It's totally fine. They failed. Ole Miss failed. And I think that's where this conversation, especially for an audience based in Mississippi, needs to start and end. Really. So, anyway. You guys enjoy the rest of your football weekend. It is, it's going to be chaotic because that is college football. There's no more rooting guides for us to go through. But yeah. Hope you guys enjoy your college football weekend, and we'll be back with a live stream on Sunday night. Hope to see all of you there, and we'll see you tomorrow night. See y'all then. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe, whatever you're doing, and I'll see you guys tomorrow night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.